Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Josh Wigler here with an early warning about this episode of the Hawkeye podcast. We begin right away with major spoilers from episode 5 of Hawkeye. If you have not yet watched episode 5 of Hawkeye, turn the podcast off now. We're getting into it immediately. No further warnings. This is the warning. Get out of here if you haven't watched Hawkeye 5. If you have watched Hawkeye 5, enjoy the show.
The world outside your window may not be great, but here on Post-Show Recaps, everything's a little bit awkward. And to make it just a little more awkward, you're a kingpin, Wilson Fisk. God. You are really on the show. Currently, you're on a cell phone, but Vincent D'Onofrio is in the credits. Now bring back Matt, Luke, and Jessica, but please not Finn Jones. Yeah, that's right. Everything's a little bit awkward. Kevin Kingpin.
Wow. Boris Karloff would be proud. That was incredible.
Kingpin, baby.
Yeah. It's happened.
My God.
It happened.
It's real. It's happening.
I mean, it's on a cell phone, but it's real.
It's on a cell phone.
I mean, Pixar, it didn't happen, so I guess it happened because
we
got the pics.
It happened. We got the pics. We got the Kingpin pics, the most electric pics on a cell phone on television this side of Roman Roy on Succession, which does not make sense to you
not
yet, Kevin. Though I've heard a rumor that you are planning on watching The Succession.
I am.
You're thinking about it.
Getting it.
You're considering it.
Get into the succession.
You're contemplating it.
In the succession line.
You're in the succession line. Maybe we'll check in with you on that on our succession podcast at some point in time if you really do make some headway in there. But no, we are talking about Hawkeye. Kevin and I are in person together. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Josh.
How you doing?
I'm doing
I already know the answer to that. It's the Christmas season. You and I and the lovely Robin decorated a Christmas tree
last night.
It was incredible.
You destroyed an ornament.
What did I do again?
You dropped the Herbie ornament, the Herbie from...
I broke him.
Yeah.
And shattered him.
The Rudolph thing, yeah?
At first, I thought I just decapitated him.
No,
and that was a fixable
pieces.
Situation. We could have glued the head back onto the bodice. But it turned out the bodice was also destroyed.
So my apologies.
Maybe
for that.
Your problem there is that you don't know anatomy.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's the body was fine. The torso was okay. The limbs were askew.
Possibly
God.
We'll do some surgery on him. I know he wanted to be a dentist, but we're going to be a surgeon and try to piece him back together.
Well, what happened, Kevin, was we were decorating the Christmas tree before we watched this episode of Hawkeye, but I could feel the kingpin in the air. That Fisky feeling was happening again, and so to preemptively celebrate, I had to decapitate somebody. The elf should be grateful that there wasn't a car available with which to repeatedly slam.
We're all thankful for that.
The door. Kevin, we're going to talk about all things episode 5 of Hawkeye, but it is one of those situations where you have to start at the end. We have to talk about Wilson Fisk. We gave the spoiler warning, so everyone's clear that we're talking about it. It's official. Kingpin back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Your thoughts at this hour?
I'm glad I didn't lean into the theory too hard, right? Because like it happening now feels really good. I'm really excited about it. I think if we would have been disappointed because we leaned in so hard into the theory, it would have sucked. But this is cool. This is great. I mean, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of like excitement around this because like the potential for what could come out of it. There's certainly the like what's in continuity, what's in not. I will say the execution was a bit wonky.
You and I, it was really fun to watch this together. First of all, I'm in California. I've been keeping an East Coast schedule for basically the entire duration that I've been here. The latest night that I had was when I watched the Succession finale and recapped that with Jess Sterling and Grace Leader that night. But that was like the only night I stayed up past my bedtime. And so last night, Hawkeye happened, and we stayed up until midnight to watch Hawkeye together. It was the closest thing that you and I are going to experience to actually like Christmas morning opening a gift together.
It was quite a gift.
It was really fun. It was a very fun episode of the show. I'm really excited to talk about Kate Bishop and all of that, and the delights of a boxed mac and cheese, which I think that we can get into for sure.
We're going to get into some stuff there.
And then we get into the Kingpin moment, and there was this combination of, I think, like late night euphoria, you know, of being awake at an hour that was like, you know, 3:45 for me at that point in time. So I was just a little delirious. But also the fact that, okay, this is amazing. Vincent D'Onofrio is, you know, he's back. Like, it's not just Kingpin. It's the D'Onofrio Kingpin.
We looked through the credits.
He's in the credits.
Sure that it was there.
They say Vincent D'Onofrio in the credits. It's official. I haven't checked D'Onofrio's Twitter, but I am sure that he is saying all sorts of stuff. Let's take a quick look.
Just
Vincent D'Onofrio, Twitter.
Wonderful laugh voice
of his. He's tweeted out a picture of the Hawkeye title at the end of the episode that has Wilson Fisk looming large over the New York City skyscape, and it just says his only text is "When I was a boy." So he's hyped. We're hyped. It's really great. But they do just bring him back via shitty, grainy cell phone footage.
Such a weird choice.
Such an odd decision to make.
It's such a weird decision.
And we
also
were cracking up about that.
We were laughing about that. We were laughing about the line delivery was so awkward.
Oh, yeah. Just like, that's the guy I was worried about. Kingpin.
Yeah, that's the guy. The big man.
Kingpin.
And it's just
really
such
great.
A weird, such an odd choice. And I have a lot of questions about, like, why? I have a theory that I think
tell
I should
me.
Share
yeah,
with
let's,
you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So, okay, look, it's a weird theory, I'm going to admit. I'm not trashing on anything because I will upfront say this show has been incredible. This weird reveal doesn't do anything to the show, in my opinion, of where it stands. It's so phenomenal. But my theory about this is looking at the shows that have come so far, you've heard me complain if you listen to this and certainly have yelled at me about complaining about this, that I feel like it's a little too disconnected from what I feel the cinematic universe is going to be doing and doing. And I really feel that this is sort of their way of keeping this sort of reveal that the Netflix stuff is in continuity.
Yeah.
On the DL in terms of like not making a big splash on the TV show because they want the pop to happen in a cinematic universe. Because at this point, Josh and I think both are agreed in our theorizing that Daredevil's arms are Daredevil's arms now.
So obviously Spider-Man No Way Home is coming out December 17th. There are people around the world who have already seen it, so people know the answer to that question at this point in time. You and I are recording this December 15th. On the 16th at 10:30 p.m. Pacific time, you and I are going to see Spider-Man No Way Home. We'll do a separate podcast about that. We're going to give you a big, gigantic Spider-Man No Way Home podcast coming this weekend. Loyal Everything is Super listeners know that I have harassed Kevin about Daredevil's arms before.
So much.
And how there's a lot of chatter. Is Daredevil going to be in Spider-Man No Way Home? And if you've been resistant to that idea, Kevin, I think you are coming around to the old Star Trek adage, rather, of resistance is futile, and Daredevil's arms are very likely Daredevil's arms.
I think that's accurate, right? Like, I think that this is a point now where it makes sense. If you're Marvel, you do this big reveal on a back-to-back day. You have it on the right timing where it's going to make a big splash, but I think that ultimately Marvel still sees the movies as their big thing. And as much as they want to tell us that the shows are also a big thing for them, and I do think they are, I don't think they have as much faith in the shows, and they didn't want the show to be the place
where
this
thing happened. Well, they're untested. I think that they seem to have a lot of faith in the quality of the shows, and they mostly should. You know, there's been some ups and downs here and there, but I think if I had to give a by and large, you know, if this was the community building podcast and it was pass, fail, streets ahead, or streets behind, I would say that the Disney Plus Marvel shows are streets ahead. Like, if it's a pass, fail, it's definitely a pass.
It's definitely a pass.
But I can imagine, you know, in the planning stages of something like this, they don't know how this stuff is going to land. I think that the social media chatter has really been big. We don't know what the numbers look like, really, in terms of viewership and all of that. But we are increasingly living in a world where just the streaming stuff is going to become more and more important.
Yeah.
There's no putting that back after everything we've been through. And we've been through so much.
So many
oh, my God. It's just been too much.
But we're here.
That they don't know. They don't know how this stuff is going to pop. So if they're going to make this move that Kingpin is going to be very firmly back in the MCU and really in the MCU now, crossing paths with an Avenger, that maybe the best way of doing that kind of stuff is in a film. So I think that we get him as a cell phone screen pop first. You get to see Charlie Cox back as Matt Murdock in a movie, probably. And then next week, we're obviously going to get legitimate D'Onofrio. It is so odd that it's not a
so
scene.
Odd. No.
That it's not
no.
a scene is very, very strange to me. It does not mitigate my hype factors for it, because clearly now we will get scenes with D'Onofrio as Kingpin, and that's great, but why didn't we get one this week is definitely a question that I have.
Massive question. Also, can we talk about, like, the quality of that cell phone? Like, you're a super spy. You would think you would have more detailed, high-pixeled cameras at your availability to take these kind of shots.
Maybe the least believable thing that's ever happened in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that anyone who is a prominent character has a cell phone camera that is quite that trashy.
Yeah, it's
very,
insane.
Very, very bad.
It's insane.
Something to talk about in conjunction with the Kingpin reveal, obviously, is the implication, at least, that Eleanor Bishop is on the side of the Anaconda Snakes, too, that she is meeting up with Kingpin. Why would she be meeting up with Kingpin unless she's probably a little mustache twirly herself?
I definitely think so. And I mean, like, from the beginning of the episode, I think you have the inclination after she's just like, I'll look into it. I'm like, oh, she's evil. She's a bad mom.
Yeah, bad mom. Bad mom. Oh, no. So we're nervous about that. But otherwise, a really electric ending that is very exciting for us. I mean, I sang it in the song, Kevin, and I mean it with every fiber of my being. This is a great start. Now, make sure Matt Murdock comes back.
Yes.
Make sure Kristen Ritter is back as Jessica Jones.
Absolutely.
Get Mike Coulter. He could do evil. He could do the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Don't you not give us Mike Coulter back, because he's terrific as Luke Cage. Leave Finn Jones where he belongs.
He doesn't need to be.
Leave him where he belongs. In the past, we have no need. We have no need of Finn Jones' return to the MCU.
I don't think that's necessary.
Do you think that we're going to have a deep Netflix connectivity? Do you think that everything that happened in the Netflix shows is going to be canon for the MCU?
That's going to be really tough. And
it's so fun that we get to talk about this. This is so crazy.
This is wild.
I mean, you and I started our podcast adventure talking about Daredevil.
This is how it began.
Many, 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 many years ago, at like the very earliest days of post-show recaps, basically, we were talking Daredevil. We were talking about Marvel from the Netflix perspective, and here we are again all these years later. This is wild to me.
It's a full circle. I mean, it's exciting, right? Like, this is what's so cool about it. And there are questions. I will say, personally, in my opinion, obviously. I almost prefer it not to be directly connected, because as much as I love a lot of those shows, there's a lot of ups and downs for me on parts of it. I do think the hyper-violence doesn't feel right and mesh sometimes with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I kind of would like to see a little more fun for some of these characters, especially Matt Murdock. I love that Daredevil show so much. I love what Charlie Cox does with that character. But there is a little bit of fun that comes with Daredevil every now and then, and I hope we can see some of that. And also the costume, we can talk about that too. I hope that's a big change that we get.
You know what? They're in good hands. They're in Marvel Studios' hands now. It's not Marvel TV. I trust Marvel Studios. They, by and large, get the costuming right. I think that they'll get a really dope Daredevil costume together when the time is right. Whether or not that's going to be Spider-Man or sometime after that, I think they'll nail it.
They'll do it good. And that's so what I'm hoping for is more of like the J.K. Simmons role in Spider-Man, right? Like the J. Jonah Jameson that we see there is not the same J. Jonah Jameson. It doesn't mean that the other stuff is in continuity directly with what we've seen, but it's its own thing. And that's what I like to see here, that you have, like, he's still Kingpin because he's so good at it, right? Like, that's why they brought back J.K. Charlie Cox's Daredevil, but it's a different one. It's a little bit different. Same actor, but its own continuity and universe. And I think that could be really, really awesome. That sets up some cool stuff. The hope, like what you said, Josh, right, is that this is untested. I think past Veil, we're streets ahead. To me, this is going to be great for the future of the TV stuff, because now I hope they can lean in more. I hope they have more trust to, like, do some big, big stuff in the TV shows that could really feel like they shake the core of the Marvel Universe in a cool way. Because we've had moments, but nothing has landed for me as, like, this actually means something.
Sure,
now.
Yeah.
This is the first one that could feel like it means something.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is me staring at a wall, imagining all the things that could be happening.
The rabbit in the snow. Oh, my God. So I'm really hyped about it. We had to start that way, although there's so much more to get into. A really big Yelena and Kate episode. We're getting some forward momentum on the Echo front as well. I think we can continue talking about the theory about who the watch belongs to, which I'm still keeping here in this section of the podcast before we get into that in deep detail. If you come back and if you stick with us, we're going to throw it to a commercial break before we do the recap. We're going to talk about that theory, which we feel pretty good about. I still feel really good about it after this week's episode. So we'll talk about all of that. Reminder that we are doing the Spider-Man No Way Home podcast. That's going to be recording really soon. Hopefully you can get some feedback in time. Super@postshowrecaps.com. is our direct line, so send us a line there. We'll try and do a spoiler-free and then spoiler-filled section for that podcast so that you can listen to the first half of it if you haven't seen the movie yet, just to see if you want to go and see it. But I think that you probably, you know, if you're feeling safe going to movies, you probably want to go and see Spider-Man, would be my guess, whether or not it's very good. But we'll give you our takes, then we'll do the spoiler version of that. We also have the extra podcast, Kevin.
Extra.
We've got the extra podcast for the patrons of Post Show Recaps, which you can listen to even if you are not a patron of Post Show Recaps by going to patreon.com/postshowrecaps and just hitting play on the extra podcast that you see on that page. That's where Kevin and I are talking about all things X-Men and additional things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I suspect maybe we'll do a little bit of preview-y Spider-Man early before we've seen it. Final thoughts probably on extra this week, I think, would be fun.
Certainly.
Just like get into like a bon voyage, a final accounting of what we're thinking going into No Way Home. So check out that podcast. That's up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps and linked to in the show notes of this podcast. With all of that said, Kevin, let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we will recap the rest of Hawkeye Episode 5, titled Ronin. Stay tuned.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Kevin. We're back. Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm jazzed.
Yeah.
There's a lot about this episode that I think is really great. There's beyond the cell phone pick. There's like one thing that I was like, meh. But like...
What was the meh?
So this comes in the conversation that happens between Yelena and Kate Bishop.
Okay, so should we save it?
You wanna... we'll save that.
Okay,
all right. Because the opening... we should talk about, because I do think the opening is very cool.
Yes. The opening felt like it was a short movie. It
yeah.
felt more like a short movie than a scene from Hawkeye. You know, it felt like one of those classic Marvel one-shots that they were doing back when I think it was, is it Louis D'Esposito? Is he the guy who's the Marvel president? I think so off the top of my head. I almost said Louis Lombardi. That's Edgar Stiles from 24. So that's a very different human being. But those one-shots that they used to do that they haven't done anymore, this almost felt like a short movie and less so an episode of Hawkeye, to the point, Kevin, that the Yelena scene happens and then they do the Marvel roll, like they do the logo, and then they do the previously on.
Yeah,
that was odd. That was a choice. But the opening of Yelena and a fellow Black Widow named Sonya going to find their friend Anna, who is also a Black Widow, potentially retired, and continuing the storyline from the Black Widow movie of going around trying to debug and deprogram all the Black Widows and spraying them with the red gas, and instead they just spray this woman.
Yeah.
Floor. She's like, what the hell?
Ruined the rug. That looked like a really nice rug. It brought the room together.
It really tied the room together. It really, really did. So that happens, and through that we get our inroad into what it was like for Yelena to blip out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We get to experience for the second time someone's full blip journey following WandaVision that did this with Monica Rambeau. Though with her, we didn't see her disappear, I don't think. I think we only saw her return.
No, we did. It was really, really well done in the visual. Like, if you slow it down, you see that she's in there washing her hands, and you see her break apart and then just come back together. And I think that's a really cool visual how they did that as the room around her shifts and changes, time catches up with itself. I really found that interesting, especially the way that we're seeing the various POVs of how the blip can happen to people. Like we saw, I think the first time we really, really saw it was Spider-Man Far From Home. I'm trying to remember, which is the home one? Far From Home.
Yeah, they're all the home ones.
Yeah, like you just see him kind of pop in like that. I really like this one a lot. The Monica Rambeau one was very much the chaos of the moment. This is more the confusion of that moment, I think, for someone to like go into the bathroom. And as she says, like, I was in there for 5 seconds and everything is different. 5 years is gone. I think that was such a great visual way to do it. Such an interesting POV on how to do it. Seeing Anna has like a kid and everything now. I hope she got that rug cleaned. I didn't look for it.
Yeah.
But let's
does hope the, do the red vapors, can you get that red out of your ledger? Can you get that red out of your rug? I don't know. Do you think the rug was named the ledger?
Where does she order that from?
Do people typically name their rugs? Do companies name rugs?
100%.
Probably. Yeah,
they have.
Yeah.
They have names for these rugs. Like if you're ordering from like Wayfair or something like that, they've got.
It's just
fancy
what I
names.
Need. Yeah. So I loved this scene. I thought that this was great. I thought it was a really cool way of getting us back into sort of Yelena's space. Definitely, this episode really made me pine for the Yelena Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I want the Black Widow sequel, and I don't need ScarJo involved. She is allegedly producing a Marvel movie. If she's producing, you know, a Black Widow sequel with Florence Pugh 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 in the title role, that would be awesome. That is what I want.
I would
very
love
badly.
That. I mean, look, they didn't fumble the ball necessarily, but they definitely, you know, had issues. releasing the Black Widow movie when they did, not just the fact that it took place after Endgame, but also like it took that long before that movie came out. That movie should have been
out ages of that ago. Was out of anybody's control.
Right. I mean, so you have a lot of those situations there, but they have an opportunity now to continue that, to have a Black Widow movie, you know, another movie starring a strong female character that could, you know, place properly in the MCU, like in continuity. And you have that opportunity with Florence Pugh, who is such a phenomenal actress, that I'm just, this entire episode, she's so good and she's just so incredible in this role and just so funny. Like, that humor that we knew her from is still there, but also the trauma that she went through is very evident. She's just great, and I would love to see a movie with her as the lead, following up after, you know, in continuity, following up after a lot of this.
Can I pitch something to you?
I'll try and catch it.
All right. I don't have confidence that you'll be able to do it.
Me either.
Ant-Man sequel is Ant-Man and the Wasp. Like, that was sort of the, rather than just doing the straight up Ant-Man 2, right? They share the title. It's Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly are both front and center.
I can see where this is going.
Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Yes, there it is. This it is. I caught that. I
Black
love
Widow
it.
And Hawkeye.
It's a fastball
make,
special.
Make
right there.
That movie, Marvel.
Yes.
Do it.
But
do it now.
Specifically, obviously, we are talking
correct.
About Kate Bishop in this role.
Well, I do think one thing that could be cool is if the movie has these two dueling stories of Clint and Natasha in the past, parallel to Kate and Yelena in the present. Is there some sort of story that a previous mission?
Well, this is the Budapest, right?
Like, yeah, maybe we see like the actual full thing.
Maybe that's how you finally bring it in. You know,
I think that could be cool, some sort of generational story. But I think after the scenes that we get in this episode of Yelena and Kate Bishop together, there's just no reason why we shouldn't have those two headlining a movie together.
They are incredible. Their interplay was so good. My problem with that scene aside, like, the thing that really stood out to me is just the acting ability of these two, you know, just bouncing off each other and expressing their emotion. Just phenomenal, phenomenal acting. That scene alone should be your, like, pitch meeting moment to just be like, and this is my one scene presentation of why we need to make a Black Widow and Hawkeye movie starring Kate Bishop and Yelena Belova. Here you go.
So much of it didn't matter for story, which was awesome.
Yeah.
So much of it was just characters being characters. You know, Yelena being sort of provocative and inquisitive, and Kate being a little bit concerned but deeply interested as she's getting more and more roped into this world. The delight of Yelena having such a very specific New York tourist attitude towards New York.
Yes.
And Kate doing what I have done so many times, the kind New Yorker thing of, well, yeah, you could go to Rockefeller Center. Yeah, go do that.
I mean, there's a tree. You got to, you know. Yeah.
Or you could check out the High Line. It's like a good sort of mid-tier tourist recommendation.
What?
The Christmas Market in Union Square
yes.
is a good mid-tier tourist recommendation.
What is your recommendation? I got to ask this because, like, we're both New Yorkers. I know mine immediately. It's one I think I give people all the time. I'm curious what yours is. The High Line is actually a really solid one.
Of telling people what to do when they come to New York?
Yeah, like
what are the must-do things?
Something that is not the obvious, right? Something that is, like, the High Line that is not
yours
so
is the
well
ferry
known.
Right,
that is correct.
What's
the Staten Island
yeah,
ferry
yeah.
is my suggestion. I love it. It's free. My suggestion is not to take it and get into Staten Island and walk around. Don't do that. No one needs to do that. Just take the ferry. You can order a beer or a drink. You ride the ferry. You can also get a beer there. Just get down there, have another drink, and hang out. Check out the little aquarium they have in the area, and then take the ferry back. It's just such a wonderful, nice ride. And also, you get a great view of the Statue of Liberty when you drive when you take that ferry. It's a phenomenal view. You can get some really good pictures, and you don't have to worry about the whole Ellis Island thing and the crowdedness of that. There's just a really it's a really, like, low key thing that I think people don't know.
No, that was
about,
a different show.
Highly recommended.
It's a good recommendation. I mean, for me, it's just, what do you want out of New York? You know, for me, being somebody who loves food, most of my recommendations would center on that.
Just the pizzas.
I would give you a good pizza list for sure. I have done that for many of people. I would tell you different places to go. You know, you gotta hit somewhere in Chinatown. I tell you to walk a lot.
Yes.
I would say walk a ton. Walk all over New York, an extremely walkable city like Glarendar. It is a place that you want to travel on foot a lot. Subways, of course, but definitely a lot of foot traffic is what you want to do. It's a great way to see New York. But that scene, which we're, you know, skipping ahead to a tiny bit, and we'll talk about it in more detail when we get to it, is just so good. It's so good. And it's it really was proof positive for me that these two need to be in a movie together.
You Absolutely.
Know, this show has been so great because of the Kate and CB1 interplay. But I think that Kate and BW2 ought to have a movie together. I feel very strongly about that. Do you like that?
That was good. That was good. I appreciate that.
That was good. So the episode then properly begins with Kate coming home, having been sent away by Clint. And she has this, you know, really nice scene with her mom, with Eleanor, who, you know, says, "You're the only thing that matters to me. You matter more than anything to me." And Kate talking about how, you know, she's not a superhero. And do you regret buying me my first bow? I really thought I could do this. And Eleanor tells Kate, "Sometimes the paths we're on wind in ways that we never could have expected." Is Eleanor talking about Kate, or is Eleanor talking about herself?
Oh, herself. That was the moment where I'm like, oh, she evil. She bad. She bad mom.
Do you think she's evil, or do you think she's involved in something dangerous?
I mean, I guess involved in something, but actively involved. I think she's well aware of her choices and what she's doing and has justified doing bad things because she's helping her family.
Yeah.
I also think, knowing the context of this now and thinking back to Kate's dad, we actually don't know a lot about him. We knew he did a lot of business. We knew that he was out a lot. I feel like now that's probably the connection. I think the dad was
involved. Taking on what he was in. Yeah.
I think that's part of it. And I think it's in a very like Wilson Fisk-esque manner. He was probably an associate of Fisk. And, you know, once the family is in with Fisk, the family doesn't get to leave.
Probably
so
not.
She had to continue doing that in order to, you know, keep the family safe, but also probably keep the money that they have. We talked about how do they afford this place, right? That was a big question.
Yeah.
I think the answer is right there. I think they're able to afford that because they're doing some shady things.
Big Wendy Bird Ozark energy coming my way from Eleanor Bishop. And I say that as a flex to demonstrate that I've just binged Ozark. And I am very excited about that. If you'd like to talk to me about Ozark, please at me. Because I just finished the whole thing in like 3 days. It was binged really fast, then I'm on vacation, and all of my downtime I've just been watching Ozark.
And now you're going to visit the Ozarks, right?
Nope, definitely not. I would like to continue to be alive for a little bit longer, so I shall not visit the Ozark based on how the show depicts the place. You don't come out of there. It does not seem like you leave there alive.
I feel like that's just a general statement for probably growing up and living in the Ozarks is to see you.
I don't
the
know.
Ozarks are where you are.
I cannot tell you the authenticity of the Ozarks as per the Netflix television series Ozark, but it doesn't look great. Doesn't look good according to the show. Yeah, I think that Eleanor, my feeling is that the story that's kind of being told is, you know, survivors of the, you know, really kind of in a way, survive, like survivors of the Avengers to a certain extent seems to be a bit of a story of, you know, the Battle of New York being this inciting event that is being unpacked through Kate's story, but also through Clint's story and how that event changed lives and put Hawkeye on a trajectory of becoming a hero, which is something that he never thought he would ever be considered and doesn't seem to really certainly believe in himself, maybe doesn't want, maybe does and doesn't know it, and doesn't know that he's had that impact on people. For Kate, you know, her reaction to her father's death in that attack and the rest of the Chitauri invasion and Hawkeye specifically saving her was, I want to be that. That's how I'm going to defend my family. That's how I'm going to protect people, is I'm going to become an Avenger. I'm going to become someone like that. And I think that a card that can still be flipped over is who broke bad for what they thought were good reasons. You know, what was the way that Eleanor was, I'm going to be the one who protects this family. It's my job to defend us. What did she get herself involved in? Is she in both feet? Is she in one foot because she has to be? These are the things that still have to be explored in next week's episode.
Yeah, I mean, one of the many things. I think that's something, you know, we should probably also discuss at some point.
We could do it right now.
There's a lot of threads that need to come together to make this sweater.
I love this show. I think that Hawkeye, pound for pound, episode for episode, it has not missed for me. This is a show that, you know, all things considered with the greater MCU TV shows, this is number one for me, and it's probably not terribly close. It's just been so fun. It's been very creative and inventive, but it does feel like it's gone fast. And that could be totally fine, but heading into episode 6, I am a little concerned about just how much is up in the air. There is a lot still in the mix, and I have confidence that they'll be able to land this relatively well, though I do think for the most part the final episodes of these shows have been a little bit wobbly.
Yeah, across the board,
and
sadly.
Just kind of end up in big, you know, punchy, kicky action scenes, as you like to say, flippy kickies. So I expect that there will be a certain degree of that when there's also still so much story to resolve with Eleanor. Now the introduction of Kingpin, how substantial will he be? You know, how is Maya's story going to resolve? What about the watch and how that's going to reveal things? There's just a lot that still needs to be revealed in one episode. Does feel like a tall order. I think that they can hit it, but...
It's doable. I mean, they can hit that target, right? They could take aim and get it, but... It is a lot. I mean, I think if they have a slightly longer episode, if they go for like a little over an hour, they could probably pull it off because there's just so much, and especially with the resolution and like, you know, the Clint got to get back with his family for Christmas. I feel like that's the timeline, right? Which is very little time to do so. It is a little worrying. I do think 6 episodes is right. I think 6 is the right number for these shows. 7 might have been a little too long. I think they may have stretched a little bit too much in this episode for parts because they wanted to end it on a particular note. But what we got in this episode, I think, was still good. Even though it didn't get forward momentum plot-wise, like you said, we got such powerful acting scenes and such powerful character scenes that I'm happy those are in there. But I do think that came at the sacrifice now of heading towards a finale that is going to be jam-packed of stuff that they got to hit the resolution for.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to get, pessimistic. This has been a joyful journey, so I'm not going to do that. It's definitely on my mind that they've got a lot to clear off the table. I feel like they can do it, and I want to believe that they can. So I choose that path.
Yeah, and I think, to your point, the quality has been so good throughout, and for the other shows, I think we felt a little bit up and down on areas, not always, but certain points, we were just like, oh, okay, but I think this show has been such a high point all the way throughout that it does give me a lot of faith that they can do it. Like, this is the show that I'm not going to be pessimistic about because I feel like they've proven how good they are so far.
Yeah, totally. All right. There's a quick scene of Kaz and Echo and him basically saying, Maya, you got to stop this. We'll get the Ronin, but then this has to stop. There's now seems to be another layer to this in that Kaz seems like he was the informant that tipped Ronin off to the fact that you should come here and kill Maya's father.
100%.
There doesn't seem to be too much ambiguity there.
No, I think it's pretty obvious.
And we're reading it that the Ronin that killed Maya's father is Clint Barton.
I think at this point, yes, right? Like he was given the tip. He said he was there that night, and I think he did do what we saw. I think the only difference that we're trying to add in here is that
if he's a weapon, right? If he's making the argument of, I didn't kill your father. I was the sword that was, you know, used to skewer your dad, but I didn't, you know, kill him.
Which is a debate we don't have to get into right now.
No, and yeah, I mean, I think, Quint, you killed him. You definitely did.
Weapons don't kill people. People who hire other people to kill people.
Listen, man, I'll give you a lot of room here, but yeah, you killed that guy if it was you. That I think that's the argument he's trying to make, and the argument is, look at the people who actually killed your father. It's not me, is, you know, the argument he's trying to make. And Kaz is pretty clear, like, let's get over this Ronin thing, huh?
Yeah. That, and then later we get that conversation of just like, what, me? No, no. I don't know why I wasn't there.
Is that your happening?
That was my happening.
Yeah, that was your happening. Did you see LaTanya put me on blast for watching The Happening recently? It was in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord.
It's
sometimes
great
we
movie
watch movies.
Also. It's a great movie to watch. Well, watch knowing what you're getting into.
I appreciated that from LT as always. okay, so let's get into the nitty gritty of the Kate Bishop and Yelena scene. She is camped out in Kate's apartment when Kate comes home. I was starving and you took forever, so I made macaroni. So she made macaroni, which she's just crushing with sriracha. Boxed mac and cheese and sriracha seems like a powerful move.
It's a way to make... Listen, I'm about to say things I know are going to make people mad.
Oh, God. What else is new?
It's, yeah, I guess that's fair. But it is a way to make that taste better. Like, I, look, growing up, I had a lot of boxed Kraft mac and cheese. That cheese powder, like, that was a staple. Now that I'm older, I actually went back once because on a whim, we were like, you know what we should get? Kraft mac and cheese. Let's try it out. And we made
and
a box
didn't,
of it.
It didn't hold up for
it
you?
It doesn't hold up.
Not
it doesn't
you.
Hold up. Yeah. I think once, especially, like, I've started, you know, look, we've been in quarantine especially. I've gotten really into cooking. I've made, like, a lot of, like, you know, make a bechamel to make mac and cheese, made it even in, like,
look
slow
at
cookers.
You, fancy pants.
And
oh,
so,
my,
like,
God.
That, now that you've had that, it's really hard to go back to that old stuff and just be like, ah, yes, this is good. That said, I will, you know, I'm not saying that I'm a total sophisticated eater or whatever. We also got into frozen pizzas, and I can crush a frozen pizza. A Red Baron frozen pizza? Hell yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's something from childhood. I'm like, oh, no, this is still real good. Still yeah. into it. But throw in some sriracha or hot sauce in there, you can plus up some, you know, boxed Kraft mac and cheese, and I think it's doable. So I can appreciate what Yelena did, being like, just pouring that on there and give it some kick.
I haven't had the boxed mac in a very long time, and I'll tell you that watching Yelena and Kate crush that bowl of the boxed mac made me very nostalgic for college when this was a staple of the diet.
That and ramen.
and I would really be very thrilled to revisit the mac and cheese and get my own assessment and not have to live through your slander of the boxed mac and cheese.
Emily would be so mad at you.
yeah, she wouldn't be thrilled, but, you know, she doesn't have to know.
That's true.
You know, it's important to have secrets. Keeps things, you know, fresh, lively. You got to keep some stuff just for yourself. I'm going to hang on to the boxed mac and cheese. No one tell Emily that I'm going to do this. Kate Bishop only has a single fork in her apartment. I live alone.
I mean, what a...
That is psychotic behavior. You have to have more than one fork.
Okay.
More than one?
I mean...
Did you only have one fork when you lived alone?
There's a level of that. I was going to say Kate is living a very similar, like, single
person life. I'm not saying you need to have...
Life.
I'm not saying you have to have 10 forks, but I think you should probably have a few.
I mean...
I think you probably ought to have a bare minimum of... Gosh, I feel like my real answer here is 5, but I'll say 3. I think you do have to have multiple forks.
That's a okay. I got a weird question. Why did you go with an odd number?
I don't know.
Like, I feel like even numbers.
Probably
of forks
four.
Is
probably
the right
four
way to go.
Is the right answer.
Yeah, it's
four forks, four knives, four spoons.
6, maybe, on the off chance you invite, like, another couple over or something. But, like, an odd number of utensils.
I don't know
crazy.
Why you're out here saying that everybody's got to be coupled up.
I'm not saying everyone has to be, but you see, if someone is single, you solve that by having 6 and you just use 5. But
well,
if they weren't, then you're screwed.
Stop talking sense to me, man. I love when Yelena says, I don't have any weapons on me. Well, I don't have any weapons currently in my hands.
Well,
okay, no, I kind of have weapons. Because she's covered in, like, bracelets and rings
and
stuff.
She's got the widow stingers, I think they're called.
Yeah, and who knows what her jewelry is, too.
Also, she is, to this show's point, she is a weapon.
Her hands.
They're all weapons.
Are a weapon.
My hands are deadly weapons.
I love when she tells Kate, like, you're fine. And Kate's like, yeah, because if you were going to try and kill me, you would have done it when I walked through the door. And Yelena's like, oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure. It's just such a great exchange. Yelena's confidence is so good, the delivery of it, Kate acknowledging that confidence, Kate's own, like, clearly, like, terrified, concerned, but, you know, still approaching it in a very, like, I don't want to say, like, chummy way, but, like,
yeah.
able to, like, play off of Yelena really well. It's such a great interaction with these two.
Yeah, so then they get into all of the sightseeing that Yelena wants to do, her Sex and the City New York tour with Natasha, as it was referred to at the start of the episode. And she says she loves American Christmas. She wants to see, she loves that super-powered reindeer, Rudolph. She says that reindeer is tasty if you braise it for a long time. So some cooking tips from Yelena.
I can imagine, like, reindeer tastes like venison, right? Just your typical, like, deer.
But maybe you do have to cook it for a long time. We're not in the market for this right now. One thing that she does say in terms of the locations that she wants to see, the Empire State Building, Rockefeller Center, and the new and improved Statue of Liberty. Did you catch that?
I did, which one has to assume something must have either happened to the Statue of Liberty or... I don't even know. Yes. The philosophy of the MCU is different these days.
Yes. I think that we're going to get an answer to that relatively soon, and I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but I don't want to get into it on this podcast when it is still hearsay for me. But I believe we will find out what that means relatively soon in our lives. So Yelena is then saying, so I'm here to kill Clint Barton. You know, CB1, I would like to kill that man. She blames him for Natasha's death, and she's been hired to kill him, right?
Yes.
Do we believe that it's as simple as just Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character, that it's just she was hired by the Contessa to kill Clint?
No, or? Because the ending of this episode confirms that it was Eleanor that hired her to kill Clint. And I think...
How does it confirm that?
Well, because she says, I followed who, I wanted to show you who it was. It was Eleanor Bishop.
Yeah.
Like, that was her text
Got
message.
Got it. Right, right, right.
So that part confirms that it's Eleanor. And I think...
I missed that in the hype for Kingpin, obviously.
Yeah. And I think what we're in a situation of is that probably, you know, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, the Contessa, is probably representing a secret government agency of some sort that takes care of, like, black ops and, you know, wet work style missions. Not necessarily a suicide squad, but certainly a task force, if you will, that probably then, once this was hired, she passed it along to Yelena, knowing that Yelena would have a vested interest in this. This does hit the one major problem I have with this. And I will say, I'm going to call it out because I've called it out before in other franchises that we've covered that did this, but the whole, like, this could be solved in a conversation situation. Yelena's like, Clint Barton is responsible for Natasha's death, and it's just like, but he's sort of not in the way that you're describing it. Also, where'd you get that information from? Oh,
right.
This shady person. Do they have video of Vormir? Probably not. And if you did, where'd you get that video?
Yeah.
Was it Ron Marquez? Did he give you that video? Like, there's just a lot
there. Could
there.
Be, who knows what kind of, like, debriefing happens after everyone returns from the blip and after
sure, but that information
the Thanos
is also
battle.
Coming from the Avengers. There's a lot there that makes that plot point for me, like, nonsensical. But unlike the other things I've called this out on, like BVS or Spider-Man 3, there's so much good in this series. Everything else is so good
when
that
things,
I'm willing to overlook it, right? Like, when, that's the situation here.
Yeah, when things are elevated to a certain degree, I totally agree that I can just kind of look past some, like, logic leaps because I'm having so much fun and so much is done, you know, hyper-competently that whatever. And I hear what you're saying of, like, if she just had the right conversation with the right person, she would know that Clint has been destroyed by the death of Natasha. And indeed, he wanted to die.
Yes.
He wanted
Not
her
responsible
to,
at all. In fact, the exact opposite.
He wanted the exact opposite outcome, and if they just talk, then maybe they would be able to figure that out, and hopefully they can by the finale, and Clint can walk away alive. Would be nice. I would like that for him. But so much else in the show and this scene specifically is so good that it frankly didn't even register for me as a problem. I see the issue as you bring it up, but I don't care because the show is so good.
This is so great. And, like, her exit shortly thereafter, even, you know, you overlook the stuff as she just
dips out the window.
Just dips out, like, bye! Just, like, trust falls out a window, basically.
Great line of, the trail of blood that follows him could wrap around the world. And Kate Bishop says, wow, that's very Russian of you. That was awesome. That was really, really, really good. She says that we are defined by what we do, not nice words. And Yelena's issue seems to be that people have just accepted Clint as a hero despite things that he's done in his past that make him a bad guy. She's one to talk, huh?
I mean, certainly that. And her sister, Natasha, I mean, it's literally the same thing. But... you know, when it's family for certain people, they're willing to overlook things. There's that old, you know, thing people ask where it's just like, if you found out a family member was a serial killer, what would you do? And it's just
Wait,
like,
who is that?
I don't know.
Who
Whoever asked
that?
Those questions.
Can you talk in that voice again?
I don't think I could. I think
oh
it was
God.
A just spur of the
You
moment,
were like
just...
taken over by some spirit. That was wild.
Yeah. But, like, you know, people ask that question and people have different answers. So I can understand her from the perspective of not seeing, you know, her sister fell into the same thing, but she would probably make arguments that, like, Natasha never saw herself as a hero, you know,
yeah,
and is trying to do good, and, like, Clint is too, but you're blinded by grief that stuff happens. So another thing that I think is easily like looked past, right? Like that is just like, well, your logic is flawed, but it's a character logic, so I'm okay with that.
Sure, no, that makes sense to me. Meanwhile, Clint goes and stays with Grills. He says, "Yeah, I got a hotel." And Grills says, "You can't stay in a hotel. Stay here." It's like, I think I'd rather stay at a hotel. I'd be alone.
But Grills is smart. I don't think this was Grills' plan, but like, if someone's after you, you can't book a hotel. That's a paper trail.
It's a fair point.
Grills, no one knows Grills.
It's a fair point. But just all things being equal, you know, and if you can pay for the hotel, then yeah, you know, maybe go to the hotel. That's not so bad. You get some privacy. You get pampered.
You get as much room as a New York apartment.
Yeah, you know, you really do. So you may as well, except it's private. So, Pizza Dog is here. Grills has the new Hawkeye costumes, apparently, but it's too early to see this,
I know.
Kevin.
I'm excited and also a little bit nervous. This would be a good example of like what Marvel, you know, the Marvel Studios can do compared to like Marvel TV back in the day, because this is very reminiscent of like the reveal of the Daredevil costume leading into that final episode was the big reveal. So we'll see how this
How's
all plays
Clint
out.
How's Clint gonna look in purple spandex, right? You
I
know,
mean, hopefully incredible. But
hopefully incredible. Regardless, it will look great that it's happening. I will at the very least appreciate the swing. I think would be great. Jack Duquesne under arrest. It would appear that Eleanor called the cops, right?
Yes, that she looked into it and found out you're right, and she called the cops and he got busted for it. His mannerism this entire scene.
It's, you know what, I wanted to shout out the upright man again who wrote in again this week being like, listen, I'm telling you that the voice is intolerable, and I love Tony Dalton, but what is he doing? The voice is so weird.
So weird.
It really
so
is.
Weird. With a smile
I've
on his
obviously
face the
been
time.
Framed. What are you doing, TD? Like, this is very, very, very strange, but I love it. I think Jack Duquesne's a great character.
He's making choices. You know what? Go with God on those choices.
Go with
man.
God, yes. So he's under arrest. Maybe we get like another scene with him at some point, but I don't anticipate that we'll get a ton. Because he's been arrested, and I don't think he's the bad guy, so I don't know why we would have more from him. Clint goes to this memorial from the Battle of New York, this tribute to the six first Avengers. And he turns off his hearing aid and has this conversation with Natasha about how you were the bravest of us all. You were loyal and stubborn, and you always had to win even for a stupid orange rock. He says, I've replayed that over and over again, and I'm doing my best every day to earn what you gave me. So I just wanted to say I miss you, and I'm so sorry for what I'm about to do. So that it's a nice scene. I think the stinger for me doesn't totally track. I mean, he's done worse. He just goes and roughs up the track suits and then doesn't, you know, kill Maya or anything. So why is he so apologetic for what he's about to do?
Yeah, I'm a little bit thrown on that too. I mean, I think it's one of those like rule of cool moments, right? Where how he looked throwing on the hood and walking away.
Yeah.
And the line delivery was cool enough that you're like, all right, I'll overlook that. Rule of cool. He has a very, yeah, he basically just Batmans a lot of those people. Like, it was very much just a Batman scene.
It was a very Batman-y first portion of that fight. Kate calls Clint. She just keeps leaving, you know, crazy ex voicemails, you know. and she's like, I know this sounds nuts that I keep calling you. You think I like it? It's just so funny.
So good.
She's like, I know I screwed up. I'm still learning. And she flips the coin.
Smashes something.
Breaks something. The mailbox is eventually full. She is going to be able to find Clint later. Do we know how?
Yes. Clint actually says, you tracked my phone, didn't you? And she says, yes. So
got it.
It's the phone tracker, which we've seen used multiple times. So they really did lay that groundwork there. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Clint gets the Maya meetup on the books by shooting a messenger arrow at the tracksuits.
That was such a hilarious
who are
moment.
Having some hilarious conversation. I don't have all of it written down. The one that really killed me is like, we look like Royal Tenenbaums.
Yep.
they look like Ben Stiller and his kids.
Which
in
I think
Royal
I read this the 20th anniversary of that movie this year. So like timing,
amazing.
Excellent.
Great tribute. So then Clint calls Laura, and this is where we're getting into that theory that we mentioned before, this theory that we talked about last week that has really taken the internet by storm. That's a different podcast. Go check out the Extra podcast. That Clint calls Laura, and we think that Laura is the person that the watch implicates, that Laura is not just, you know, Clint's wife, but potentially one of his former colleagues, that she may be someone in some kind of witness protection or undercover or whatever. And I think that this conversation that happens between Clint and Laura continues to push that as the most logical eventuality of this, of, you know, someone's hired a Black Widow, someone's looking into our family. And she says, but we've been so careful. He says, it's just a matter of time before the big guy gets involved. So they keep calling Kingpin the big guy.
He's pretty big.
He is big. But she's saying, you didn't call for permission. You certainly don't need it from me. And I understand what you need to do now more than anyone ever could. So either she is just like the most ride or die significant other, or she understands all this because, you know, she's been in this position before.
Yeah, been there, and done that.
What do you think the connection would be to Kingpin?
My assumption, there's probably a few ways to go with this. We know that these guys have been black ops. We know that they've done shady stuff. There could very well be a possibility that in this world, Mockingbird or Bobby, you know, Bobby Morse.
Or whoever Laura actually
is actually an associate of the Kingpin, was actually a very Ronin-esque character herself. And once, you know, her and Clint met, things changed and she wanted to walk a different path. And so the witness protection is not just that people are after her, but because she has like a background.
Right.
So I think that there's a lot of possibilities to answer that question. I think a lot of them fit. If it's not that, I think you're right. It would be weird. It's either she's the most ride or die and they have a very odd relationship, because there was a lot of information he was giving her for no reason at the time, because he could have just been like, hey, this is taking longer, I'm gonna not be home, I have to go do a thing, sorry.
It would be refreshing enough though if he's just giving her all the information, because there's no secrets between these two.
You give that detail once you're home. Basically wasting time on the phone.
I guess
go do the mission, you know. I feel like that's the little stuff. So I really do hope it's something that explains her past or something. But if she's just ride or die, I'm like, yeah, all right. That's fine, too.
Yeah. But I hope that this bears out. I think it would be cool, and it would just be the promise of more superhero Lindsay Weir. Sounds totally fun to me.
Having our good buddy Brett White be right about this and have him be ecstatic. I love seeing ecstatic
I love
Brett
that
White.
As well. Me as well. All right, so it's the Ronin fight. He Batmans the tracksuits. There's a fight between Ronin and Echo. I guess it's kind of cool. I don't have major notes from this. Kind of cool to see Jeremy Renner in the Ronin costume. Kind of feel like him winning against Echo doesn't feel totally right to me, but whatever. He takes the hood down. He takes the mask off. He says, I wanted you to see my face. And she says, why? So that it's the last thing, so I can watch you kill me. And he says, no, but if you or anyone ever comes after me or my family, it will be the last thing you see.
Right.
So he then tries to tell her, we're both weapons filled with rage. And when you're filled with rage, it makes you blind and makes you easily manipulated. Trust me, I know. And he tells her, I was there. I was tipped off by an informant who works for your boss. Your boss wanted your father dead. So she really, you know, sits with that. And I think that that's what fuels her for this conversation that she has with Kaz. Do we think that this would be enough for Maya's story resolution on this show, since we know that there's an Echo show happening? Would you be okay if we didn't get much more from Echo in the finale? Or do we need to close the book in some regard next week?
We need to close the book in some regard for Echo. I mean, her confrontation, you know, with Kaz. I think... started that seed, but I do think that needs to wrap a little bit, just to close the book there on her and her story. Whether that's a confrontation with Kingpin herself, that then she just eliminates him, and then not Kingpin but Chaz, and that takes care of that problem. And I think that's a good wrap. But there needs to be something. We can't just I don't think that's enough to just end her story here.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. Kaz is clearly like, oh no, she's figuring it out.
Yeah.
Who, me? Good at
me. I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
I guess I'm somewhat curious as to his motivations, but I don't care too much either.
I mean, the boss tells you what to do and you do it, or else you lose your head in a car door. I feel like that's motivation.
That's the motivation, I think, is fair. Which, yeah, basically brings us to the rest of the episode, that Kate finds Clint, gets him in an Uber or a Lyft. We don't know. Some sort of ride share. And tells Clint about Natasha's sister. That's who that Black Widow was. And Clint is the one who says Yelena.
Yes,
so
he, I love either, that he knows.
He either knows Yelena or knew Natasha so well that he knows of Yelena.
Definitely knows of. He would have recognized her when the mask came off. So I can appreciate
that. Yeah, that's a good
that.
Point. Yep.
But I appreciate the fact that, again, their friendship was so open and they were so close that he knows those aspects of her life that she had told basically no one else.
They were tight, yeah. Obviously, that they told each other. You know, she knew about Clint's family, so one thing follows the other. And then we get to the end of the episode of Kate and Clint at Grills' house. She gets the text of the photo. Of her mother meeting with, that's the guy I've been worried about this whole time, Kingpin.
Such a weird delivery.
It's such a weird line, but I guess you gotta, you know,
you gotta do what you gotta do. You have to
give. You have to give the name that people can then go and wiki afterwards. As I was watching some Ozark this morning, Kevin, I signed into Netflix.com, and one of the top binge shows in, you know, that category, yep, that was there is like most binge worthy shows. Daredevil was occupying the number one spot. So I don't know if that's the Netflix algorithm trying to make, trying to capitalize on this momentum. If that's something that they did Marvel give them some kind of heads up of like, maybe just like repopulate Daredevil, you'll have a good week. Or is it because people are like, oh, I gotta go watch Daredevil en masse right now? And if it's that, then
column
that's
a column B, honestly.
Then if it's column B, or how much of column B, that's a really good sign of how many people are watching Hawkeye, because that was this morning West Coast, so noon East Coast,
yeah,
basically, and Daredevil was in the number one spot. So people are watching Hawkeye and early, if that's the case. So
I mean, yeah, people, I think, had an inkling this would be a big episode. I think that's a great news for Daredevil, certainly season one, which I really, really, really loved. I think, you know, you can go back and hear us rave about it in the early days of post-show recaps, as Josh mentioned. Yeah, and it is weird. I was just actually thinking about when you mentioned like how he was just like your boss and how he kept being like the big man. It almost feels like when you're in like a Teams or Slack conversation and you are talking about your boss, but you can't say their name.
Uh-huh.
So you just say everything around it. That's what it feels like, is that they were like Slack conversating the entire
That's
series
funny.
To keep it a secret. And then you have that one moment where you slip and you say the person's name and you're like, oh, delete that message.
That's great. I'm so excited to see what D'Onofrio in the MCU proper looks like as Kingpin. I hope it's not terribly far away from what he was doing before, because he had the character so firmly on lock. And I hope he just still has him at the ready. I'm sure he does.
I'm certain he does.
I don't think that just goes away. So that's episode 5, Ronin. There is one episode of Hawkeye remaining, and then we are done with Hawkeye. Kevin, you have any finale predictions inside of you?
Oh my god.
Or even desires. It's, you know, it's going to be time, it's going to come out a couple days before Christmas. What do you want to see under the tree?
Yeah, I think honestly the one desire, I think there's a lot of ways they can go with these stories, and honestly, they've done such a good job with this show that I'm just open for anything. There's nothing where I'm like itching for like how the other shows had, right? Where I was like, "Oh, I really want this to happen," or "I really want this." I think the only thing I really want from this show, and it is appropriate the holiday season, is honestly for Clint to get home for Christmas. Bizarrely, that's my desire.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I want. I want him to make it home for Christmas. I want him to be his family for Christmas. I think he deserves it. I think it's what we all want and
I'm
need
nervous.
To happen.
I'm nervous for Clint Barton. I'm nervous for CB1. I don't want to see anything bad happen to him. And before the show, I couldn't have cared less. Really.
I know, right? Here we are.
Yeah.
I was. How many times have I made fun of Hawkeye? How many times did I rant about
so many
other people dying instead of him? And here I am saying the one deep desire I have is that he makes it home to
you
Christmas.
You can never, don't ever kill Hawkeye, guys. You gotta leave him alone.
God, you're right. Oh no! Yeah. I'm at the point where I've wanted him to die so many times, and now I'm at the point where, like, you can never kill
He's
him.
He's untouchable. Don't hurt him.
Wow.
Leave Hawkeye alone.
God damn, good job, show.
But I do want him to walk away from the business yes. and give the mantle firmly to Kate.
I think he needs to do that. I think that's the right route for this character. I mean, this is such a weird... Being a superhero is a weird thing, and we've seen so many people end their careers in various ways. You know, like Tony, you know, Tony died. Cap lived his long life. Thor has to continue and hold the mantle. Natasha died. I would like it that in a very similar way to Cap, where Cap just kind of retired, I would love that for Clint, that he just walks away and retires. Who knows what Bruce is doing? I think Bruce is still mostly in the game, but he's not in the way he used to be.
You know, he's beaming in via hologram yeah. with Carol Danvers to talk to Shang-Chi. So he's still hanging out. And we've seen some very 80s looking photos of Mark Ruffalo with She-Hulk in the She-Hulk show. So we'll see him there for sure. That'll be fun. That'll be really, really great. But yeah, I don't want anything bad to happen to Clint. I would like to see him walk away. That is also my desire. And I just want to get some cool D'Onofrio Kingpin stuff, but I don't want it to distract too much from everything else that has been so good about
Agreed.
Hawkeye. That is one concern I have, I suppose. But I don't think that Jonathan Majors as He Who Remains and the start of his Kang story at the end of Loki detracted from the Loki finale at all. So I think that we have seen these shows be able to bring someone in the 11th hour and do it in a way that has been additive rather than, you know, taking anything away from the show. So I'm confident, especially because it's a character that many of us know, not everybody. If you are one of those people who... you don't fully understand the Kingpin reveal, and that's because you either don't read the comics or you never watched the Netflix Daredevil show, go binge it. You know, with some caution that it is violent for sure, and it's definitely a little grittier than most of the rest of the MCU, but it'll give you, if not, you know, plot content on what Kingpin is all about, because we don't know yet how much this is going to be fueling his role in the MCU proper. It'll at least give you the vibe, and the vibe is tremendous.
Yeah, and you only really need to do season one. I mean, you can
season three is great.
Season three is very great, but season two is wonky for me. Season one is a solid. I think this is a great first season. You can probably stop there, and you get everything you need. It also has one of my favorite episodes, I think, of the entirety of the Netflix Marvel stuff, so
yeah,
I would recommend that.
Which one is that?
Nelson v. Murdoch.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Avocado.
Hilariously, yeah, like one that has barely no action, is just two people essentially talking, but it is just such great character work and dialogue that it was tremendous.
Avocados at Law forever. Yeah. All right, that is the Hawkeye coverage. We are going to be back soon with Spider-Man No Way Home here in the main feed, so keep an eye out for that. We'll do some spoiler-free stuff at the top, then we will do spoiler-filled stuff for the rest of that podcast so that you can listen to some of it before you see the movie, and then you will want to have seen the movie or don't care for the spoilers to listen to the rest of it. Also, the extra podcast, you can go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps right now to listen to me and Kevin talking about, among other things, how dumb Jubilee is as an X-Man, just letting Sabretooth go.
So stupid. So stupid.
We've got a lot of Sabretooth stuff to talk about. Magneto. Really, really fun episode of X-Men, the 1990s animated series to talk about. That podcast has been a ton of fun. So if you're not checking it out, remember, it's free. You could just go and listen to it. You have to listen to it on the website if you're not a patron of Post Show Recaps, but it is available to you, and I recommend it. We're having a really fun time doing that show. Kevin, what's up with YA, patron-only podcast that you do with Melissa Woodwario?
That's right. My Canadian co-host Melissa Woodward and I continue to cover YA fiction, specifically adaptations. We have wrapped up the Divergent series, and we're heading into some mazes. We're doing Maze Runner next. It just felt right.
Nice.
We've been doing YA dystopia. We started with Hunger Games, went into Divergent. Maze Runner was the obvious next choice, I think. And so we're heading into that coming up.
I visited the set
week?
Of that movie. It is
oh,
a set visit
you?
For Maze Runner.
Interesting.
Yeah. Filmed in Louisiana, I think somewhere, Baton Rouge, I think. It was pretty close to there.
Wow, the first one?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I'm pretty sure it was the first one that I went
to.
Yes.
There's some people in that movie. I mean, obviously Dylan O'Brien, Jojen Reed, Kalis Gooliaro, who I really like, and Will Poulter, if I'm not mistaken, future Adam Warlock.
Yes. Yeah. It was a cool set. I went on that trip and did Dawn of the Planet of the Apes as well. Was filming in New Orleans.
What a good double for you! That's awesome.
It was also my first time in New Orleans. It was back when I was still drinking, and I went alone. I had a memorable evening, a hard to remember evening, right. But a memorable evening.
That's New Orleans for you, yeah.
Very, very fun. So that's cool. I love Maze Runner. At least the first movie. I don't think I watched past that, and I liked the book too.
Well, there was delays for reasons we'll be getting into.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So that's in the Patreon feed as well. So much more. If you just want to support the podcast, if you appreciate the work we are doing, regardless of the perks, though you get so many when you sign up to be a patron of Post Show Recaps, we would just appreciate the support. So that's patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. If you get value out of these podcasts and you want to give us a little bit of a signal that that is the case, think about it. Sign up at whatever level is comfortable for you. If not, don't worry. We're going to continue making the podcasts. Next week, Hawkeye wraps.
It's going to be great.
Okay. All right, folks. We'll be back next week with more Hawkeye. We'll be back with Spider-Man before then. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.